Chapter 6 Making an astrological chart of a name error is just one way, insofar as I know, of determining in a positive, reliable and scientific manner, how any invisible vibratory tone, or combination of such tones, will affect a certain person. That is by comparing the tone, or tones, with the astrological birth chart of the person. The planets and signs in a birth chart each map thought cells of specific tones, as revealed by their correspondences, which are set forth in these lessons. Any thought vibration, character vibration, or astrological vibration reaching the individual adds its energy to the thought cells having the same vibratory rate in the astral body of the person. The chief influence of a name, or number, as affecting a person is to give added energy to the thought cells of that section of the astral body of the person, which vibrates to the same rate as the key tone of the name or number. That is, to determine how a name or number or other invisible influence will affect a person, first get the key of the name or number, or other influence. This key is expressed by some number below 23. Thus the Mars dynamic structure vibrates to the tone 16, and the Virgo zone vibrates to tone 2. Now if the Mars structure in a person's astral body is very discordant, as shown by inharmonious aspects to Mars in the birth chart, any energy added to its thought cells by objects, by thoughts, or other influences vibrating to tone 16 merely increases the power of these thoughts to attract such catastrophe, as is pictured by Arcanum 16. But if the Mars structure in a person's astral body is harmoniously organized, as shown by Mars having strong beneficial aspects in the birth chart, this added energy will increase the power of its thought cells to attract events which are constructive and beneficial. The pictured arcanum corresponding to each of the signs and planets thus represents the more common influence of the tone apart from lines of force which, like aspects, conduce to harmony or discord. But in the astral body of man these dynamic structures and zones, which vibrate to the tones so depicted, are usually strongly modified and influenced by the manner in which they have been associated with other thought structures. Therefore, while tone 15 may in general be considered as fatality, in a person's chart who has the planet Saturn exceedingly well aspected it might be the most fortunate influence in the life, and the one which, when given added energy, would bring the most benefit. Therefore, in determining how a name, number, environment, or other invisible influence will affect an individual, the tone of the influence should first be determined, and then a study should be made of this tone, as mapped in the astrological chart of birth. If the tone in the chart of birth is essentially beneficial, the same tone received from a name, number, other person, locality, birthstone or anything else will be beneficial, because it will increase the power of beneficial thought cells in the astral body. But if the tone, as mapped in the birth chart, is detrimental, the same tone received from without, from any of the sources mentioned, will tend, through giving discordant thought cells more energy, to attract misfortune. Fortune or misfortune does not come equally through all departments of life. And a particular vibratory tone often stimulates one or two departments of life, and has little or no influence upon other departments. It thus may have an influence over finances and yet have no influence, whatever, over health or companionship. The department of life influenced by a vibratory key is denoted by the compartment in the astral body ruled by the sign or planet in the birth chart, whose thought structure is stimulated into activity by the key. Thus, disregarding whether the influence will attract or disperse it, if the key tone is the same as a planet in the house of money second house, or the same as the sign on the cusp of the house of money second, its chief effect, for good or ill, will be upon money. But if the key tone is the same as a planet in the house of partnership seventh, or the same As the sign on the cusp of the house of partnership 7th, the chief influence will be upon the relation with partners. Now if on a pond of water there are several little sticks floating, and someone throws a rock into the pool, this disturbance of the water also disturbs the little sticks and they go bobbing about. Likewise, if there is one or several planets in a zodiacal sign in the birth chart, because these planets represent organized groups of thought cells in that zone of the astral body indicated by the sign, if the sign is given increased activity, the groups of thought cells in it are set in motion. The precise power of a dynamic thought structure mapped by a planet or the common thought cells mapped by an unoccupied sign, to attract good fortune, when thus given increased activity is directly proportional to its harmonies, and the precise power of a dynamic thought structure mapped by a planet or of the common thought cells mapped by an unoccupied sign, to attract misfortune when thus given increased activity is directly proportional to its discordines. How to calculate the astrodines, harmodines and discordines of each birth chart planet, sign and house is explained in chapters 1 and 2 of Course 16, Stellar Healing. An unoccupied sign occupying one house cusp has one half the harmodines or discordines of its ruling planet. An unoccupied intercepted sign has one-fourth the harmodines or discordines of its ruling planet. An unoccupied sign occupying the cusp of two houses has the same number of harmodines or discordines as its ruling planet. Thus on an average the influence of a planet is twice as important as that of an unoccupied sign. Thus it is that when we have before us that complete map of the astral body of any individual, which is a birth chart, we can determine in a positive, scientific and detailed manner, how any invisible vibratory rate, of which we know the key will affect him. We can determine if the particular key will tend to attract to him fortune or misfortune. We can determine in what department of life, that fortune or misfortune will be attracted. And we can determine, by calculating the astrodynes of the planet or sign mapping the thought cells within his astral body responding to this key and the probable volume of energy added to them by the invisible influence, somewhat of the magnitude of the events, that will thus be attracted into his life. Now any name or any number can be converted into an astrological chart by the simple expedient of substituting the corresponding major arcanum for each of the letters or numbers. Each major arcanum also, of course, signifies a definite astrological influence. These various letters of a name, or the astrological influences substituted for them, each represent one tone. Each letter of the name, therefore, as a tone, has some influence in stimulating into activity the corresponding tone in the astral body of the person wearing the name. Sometimes in a person's name certain letters are repeated several times. Sometimes there will be several A's, for instance, or the letter L may occur twice in each member of the name. In such cases, naturally, the influence of the particular tone so repeated is intensified, and may be taken into consideration in its relation to affecting the individual. But in all cases the key of the name, as a whole is by far the most important vibratory rate, and even letters that occur repeatedly in the name are of subsidiary influence. To chart a name, therefore, we find the key of the number of the name, and set it at the head of the chart as the dominant influence. In relation to the name itself, it represents the birth chart. Then if we desire to do so we find the key of the decave, and place it at the foot of the chart. It indicates the end of things, that which the fourth house in an astrological chart represents. Then the letters of the name may be placed between the key of the name and the key of the decave as transitory influences. Reading a name alone does not give a reading for the individual wearing it. By using such a chart we can give a reading of any name. But because people wearing the same name are different individuals, We must not assume that a reading of the name alone gives a reading applicable to the individual wearing it. On the contrary, to give a reading of the individual wearing a name, even by the process of divination by numbers, we must add an individual element. This individual element which is most suitable for such use is the birth path. And the method of using it and giving such a divinatory reading by means of numbers is set forth in chapter 8. Apart from any individual, however, and not indicative of any person's fortune, we can make an astrological chart of any name or any number, which will be scientifically correct, and to one delving in spiritual research such a chart often will yield information of value. Let us take the name Jesus, for instance. J10, E5, S21, U6, S21. 10 plus 5 plus 21 plus 6 plus 21 equals 63. 6 plus 3 gives 9, as the key of the name. 63 minus 9 gives 54. 54 divided by 9 gives 6. 6 plus 1 gives 7, as the key of the decave. Then the astrological chart may be stated thus: Aquarius 9, Uranus 10, Jupiter 5, Sun 21, Venus 6, Sun 21, Sagittarius 7. As the birth date of Jesus is unknown, we will attempt no reading of his life. But the motive actuating those who follow his doctrines is very apparent. The key of the influence is Aquarius, or Major Arcanum 9, signifying prudence and circumspection. The prudence of the followers of Jesus causes them to accept him in the expectation of finding heaven and escaping hell. And the end for which they hope, both here and hereafter, is Sagittarius, or Major Arcanum 7, signifying victory. Onward, Christian soldiers, as sung in thousands of Sunday schools, might well be inspired by the pictured Arcanum 7 with its conqueror riding forward to overcome opposition. Aside from astrology, let us consider the vibratory significance of some other holy names the Jews called their stern and unyielding God. Jehovah, spelled in Hebrew, Jod-Hevohi-I-E-5-E10 plus 5 plus 6 plus 5 equals 26. 26 being more than 22 must be involved. 2 plus 6 gives 8, as the key of the name. 26 minus 8 gives 18. 18 divided by 9, plus 1, gives 3 as the decave. Thus the key and the decave, 8 and 3, indicate the moral code of Jehovah to have been inflexible justice in action. To proceed with other fic names, the chief deity of Christianity is spelled God 3 plus 16 plus 4 equals 23. 2 plus 3 gives 5, as the key of the name. 23 minus 5 gives 18. 18 divided by 9, plus 1, gives 3 as the decave. The key and the decave, 5 and 3, thus indicate that the idea behind the Christian God is beneficent Jupiter law in action. Now turn to the deity of Egyptian initiates, Ra. R-A 20 plus 1 gives 21, which needs no involving because it is already a key, pictured by Arcanum 21. Ra is thus, according to its key and its astrological ruler, the spiritual sun of our universe, the highest spiritual and intellectual entity, and those who worship him strive to become the most spiritual and intelligent men on earth. They strive to be adepts. Astrologically, Ra is the sun. The religion of his devotees is expressed still more in detail by the two arcana picturing the two letters of the word, 20 and 1, signifying will and intelligence 1. Resurrecting 20, the soul beyond the tomb. What is the vibratory import of the Hindu Udfic word used so frequently as a mantra, and rendered into English, as AUM 1 plus 6 plus 13 equals 20? The key 20 reveals that the object sought is to awaken 20, the soul to its latent possibilities. The method employed to do this is indicated by the three letters the will 1, brought to bear upon temptation 6, to induce a transformation 13. And this rendering of a foreign name brings up a point of some importance, that of the different ways of spelling a name. Again, I would call your attention to the principle that it is not the sound of a name, nor its phonetics, with which we are dealing, but its astral vibratory rates. These astral vibratory rates are set in motion by the person thinking the name, and they are set up irrespective of vocal action. Nor do people of different countries, who spell a name differently, have the same conception of its significance. Because with most people, according to physiological experiments, sight registers its impressions more quickly and more strongly than sound, the spelling of a name commonly determines its thought vibration, when it is thought about. The English spelling, therefore, only indicates the vibratory significance of the name to those who use the English spelling. Any alteration of the spelling of a name, even though the phonetic value is unchanged, thus changes the vibratory rate and the inner meaning of the name. The native spelling of a name gives its significance to such natives. Buddha 2 plus 6 plus 4 plus 4 plus 8 plus 1 gives 25. 2 plus 5 gives 7 as the key. 25 minus 7 gives 18. 18 divided by 9, plus 1, gives 3 as the decave. Thus our conception of the life and teachings of this great reformer is victory 7, of mind in action 3. Brahma 2 plus 20 plus 1 plus 8 plus 13 plus 1 gives 45. 4 plus 5 gives 9 as the key. 45 minus 9 gives 36. 36 divided by 9, plus 1, gives 5 as the decave. This deity, therefore, to us signifies wisdom 9 acting through law, 5. Vishnu 6 plus 10 plus 18 plus 14 plus 6 equals 54. 5 plus 4 gives 9 as the key. 54 minus 9 gives 45. 45 divided by 9, plus 1 gives 6 as the decave. This god of preservation therefore exemplifies the thought that wisdom 9 overcomes temptation 6. Siva 21 plus 10 plus 6 plus 1 equals 38. 3 plus 8 gives 11 as the key. 38 minus 11 gives 27. 27 divided by 9, plus 1 gives 4 as the decave. The Hindu Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva are usually translated as creator, preserver and destroyer. But while Shiva does represent destruction, it is a destruction which implies a restoration, or reproduction, and thus the linga is used as his emblem. And the significance is conveyed by force 11, undergoing realization 4. Devil 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 10 plus 12 equals 37. 3 plus 7 gives 10 as the key. 37 minus 10 gives 27. 27 divided by 9, plus 1 gives 4 as the decave. The devil thus is the agent for a change of fortune 10, realized 4. Hell 8 plus 5 plus 12 plus 12 equals 37. 3 plus 7 gives 10 as the key. 37 minus 10 gives 27. 27 divided by 9, plus 1 gives 4 as the decave. Hell, therefore, is a change of fortune 10, realized 4. The early Magi erected a tower to Bel 2 plus 5 plus 12 gives 19 as the key. As it is already below 23, no decave influence need be considered. We chart this name in detail thus 19-2-5-12. And read it as happiness and prosperity 19 devoted to science 2, religion 5, and sacrifice 12. Later generations forsook the worship of Bel for Bel 2 plus 1 plus 1 plus 12 gives 16 as the key. In detail it indicates that the desire for violence 16 prompted the energies to be turned to science 2, will 1, intelligence 1, and sacrifice 12. Babylon 2 plus 1 plus 2 plus 10 plus 12 plus 16 plus 14 equals 57. 5 plus 7 gives 12 as the key. 57 minus 12 gives 45. 45 divided by 9, plus 1 gives 6 as the decave. Babylon is mentioned in Revelations as the great prostitute, which is borne out by its vibratory significance, which reads sacrifice 12, to temptation 6. The above examples, I believe, are quite ample to denote how names may be handled as factors in themselves, apart from their influence upon any particular individual. But I must repeat, because it is so frequently overlooked by those who practice numerology, that when the influence upon an individual is to be revealed, or a reading is to be given an individual based on his name, that there is always an additional individual factor which must be included. The Conqueror Arcanum 7-letter Egyptian, Zain, Hebrew, Zain, English, Z number, 7. Astrologically, the zodiacal sign Sagittarius. Color, the lighter shades of purple. Tone, high A. Occult science, spiritual astrology. Human function, the sense of smell. Natural remedy, such herbs as mallow, wood burning, featherfew, and agrimony. Mineral, the talismanic gem red garnet often called carbuncle, and such stones as are mixed with red and green, including turquoise. Z7 expresses in the spiritual world the septenary dominion of spirit over matter. In the intellectual world, the sacerdoci and the empire. In the physical world, submission of the elements and forces of matter to the intelligences and forces of man. Remember, then, son of earth, that the empire of the world belongs to them who possess the sovereignty of spirit, that is to say, the light, which makes clear the mysteries of life. If the conqueror should appear in the prophetic signs of thy horoscope, it signifies that in breaking through obstacles thou wilt crush thy enemies, and all thy wishes will be realized, if thou attack the future with audacity, armed in the consciousness of thy right. In divination, Arcanum 7 may briefly be read as victory. Arcanum 7 is figured by a war chariot of square form, surmounted by a starry canopy sustained by four columns. Upon this chariot advances a conqueror armed with a cuirass and carrying both sword and scepter. He wears a crown from which rises three pentagrams, or golden stars with five points. The square car symbolizes the material world vanquished by the work of the will. The four columns supporting the canopy represent the four quadrants of heaven which surround the conqueror. They also represent the four elemental kingdoms that have submitted to the master of the scepter and the sword. Upon the square front of the chariot is pictured a sphere sustained by two outspread wings, symbol of the immortal flight of the soul through the infinitude of space and time. The sacred serpent at the conqueror's brow signifies the possession of that intellectual light, which makes clear all the arcana of fortune. The three golden stars rising from the crown symbolize the dominion of man in all three worlds, physical, astral and spiritual. A T-square and two tri-squares are traced upon the cuirass. The T-square, or Ta, symbolizes virile force, and the two tri-squares indicate the rectitude of judgment that enables the conqueror to direct this force either to right or left, into mental or physical power as occasion demands. The cuirass signifies resistance, the high-held sword is the emblem of physical victory, and the scepter indicates mental conquest. This scepter is surmounted by a square, a circle, and a triangle. The square is the emblem of matter, the circle indicates the realm of spirit, and the triangle is the emblem of mind, together denoting the perpetual dominion of intelligence over all realms and forces of nature. Two sphinxes, one white and the other black, are harnessed to the car. A sphinx, as composed of the four emblems of the zodiacal quadrants, indicates the passage of time. The white sphinx signifies fortunate periods, and the black one signifies periods of adversity, both of which serve the soul victorious over the ordeals met in its pilgrimage of eternal progression. Number numerically, 7, as composed of the numbers 3 and 4, expresses action and completion. It is the number of perfect form on the physical plane. It is thus the septenary, which is the complete and perfect three-dimensional gamut, even as 9 is the complete and perfect four-dimensional. A scale of 7 is better, therefore, to indicate physical tones and electromagnetic vibrations, but a scale of 9 is more convenient to indicate astral tones and thought vibrations. Thus in three-dimensional existence where perfection of form exists, it will be found that the number 7 expresses it as 3 and 4. The 3 are active principles. The 4 are reactions, or forms. In human life, 7, as composed of 3 and 4, express the concrete 4 dominated by action, or 3 the realization of physical perfection through active effort. As composed of 5 and 2, it indicates man in full possession of the law of polarity, realizing the potency of sex force. As composed of twice 3 plus 1, it signifies body, soul and spirit united to body, soul and spirit, guided by intelligence and under control of will, thus representing the perfect nuptial union. It is dominion of intelligence over all actions, hence complete victory over all temptations. Astrology. Astrologically, Sagittarius is pictured as the starry centaur, with bow full drawn, indicating its combative qualities and its locomotion. Sagittarius is a dual sign, adapting itself to both scepter and sword. It is natural ruler of philosophy and travel, its chief mental characteristics being obedience to ruling authority, discipline, prompt decision, self-control and the power to command others. The conservative attributes are well represented by the cuirass, and the other qualities are all symbolized in detail by the various pictured emblems of Arcanum 7. Human function. It has been explained that the planet Jupiter corresponds to the electromagnetic body. This body is nourished by the electromagnetic energy liberated from protein molecules, as explained in Chapter 9 of Course 5, Esoteric Psychology. The electromagnetic energy of the nervous system enables it both to broadcast and receive shortwave radiations. As an aid to tuning in on the desired wavelength, incense has been found helpful. Through stimulating the sense of smell in the proper way, the mind is directed to a certain state of consciousness, which raises or lowers the individual's vibrations, tuning him in on the grade of energy it is desired to contact. Thus does the sense of smell correspond to Arcanum 7. Alchemy. The various ores from which the metals to be used in the process of transmutation are obtained are not of equal richness, and are not of equal suitability, as furnishing the required metals. And when the metals are extracted from these ores, or are otherwise obtained, they are not of equal purity, or of equal value. Thus it is that every ingredient used in the process should be assayed to determine its refinement, to determine its value, and to determine how best it may be treated to purify it to the extent required, if it is to be used in the alchemical work. In spiritual alchemy, for instance, each experience needs to be appraised as to its possibilities of providing spiritual values, and to determine exactly what attitude will recover the highest percentage of these spiritual values. In mental alchemy, a still different appraisal is made to determine the value in terms of harmony, and the treatment necessary to gain these values in highest measure. Such determinations are secured through a saying, which corresponds to Arcanum 7. Bible. Joseph, sold into Egypt, representing the soul born into matter and fettered by carnal desires, represents Arcanum 7. But Joseph overcame all obstacles and rose to great power, as indicated by the sword. And in addition to having at his command the material forces thus indicated, he also became an interpreter of the divine will, as symbolized by the scepter. He was tempted by Potiphar's wife, Arcanum Vi, but he triumphed Arcanum 7 over the temptation, even though it meant certain affliction. The dream of Pharaoh, which he interpreted, of the 7 fat kine and the 7 lean kine, and the 7 good ears and the 7 bad ears, related to periods of good and evil, such as the white sphinx and the black sphinx of Arcanum 7 signify. The result of his triumph through periods of good and periods of evil, and of his not yielding to temptation, is set forth in General 41, and is symbolical of what may be expected by others who triumph over temptation, for they also shall be made rulers over the physical plain, which is the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and made him to ride in the 2nd chariot, which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Masonry. The royal arch degree of masonry is based upon Arcanum 7. The chariot, like the tabernacle, is an oblong square, but instead of being divided into 4 veils, the canopy is supported by 4 columns. The captivity in Babylon is denoted by the square-formed chariot, and the release from bondage by the scepter. The return journey to Jerusalem is denoted by the 2 sphinxes hitched to the wheeled car. The arcanum also symbolizes the vault into which the candidate is lowered, where he finds the Ark of the Covenant containing the 4 emblems, which are the suits of the tarot cards. Of these, the scepter represents the rod of Aaron, the sword is the symbol of the tablets of the law, the gomer is represented by the cuirass, and the sacred serpent indicates the manna, or intellectual food. The 3 jewels, or trying squares of the 3 ancient masters, are to be seen on the cuirass, and the wonderful scroll, which is the key to the ineffable characters of the degree, is present, as the starry canopy overhead. The long-lost master mason's word, which is recovered in the royal arch, is fully exemplified by the 4 symbols mentioned, and is written in 3 languages, as indicated by the golden stars. All of which, plainly stated, signifies harmonious union of positive and negative forces, such as the Masonic Trowell suggests, on all 3 planes of existence. Magic. In magic, Arcanum 7 represents the power of projection, of sending the astral form to a distance, and the power of attraction, of compelling the astral of another to appear, and obey whatever commands may be given. And it is also of the same symbolical import as the Seal of Solomon, the 2 interlaced equilateral trines. Next to the pentagram, Solomon's seal is the most important magical diagram, for it represents the macrocosm and its laws, thus indicating its user to be familiar with nature, and to be endowed with intelligence. Initiation. In the soul's pilgrimage, Arcanum 7 indicates physical initiation completed. It shows proficiency in both science and magic. The temptations of the material world have been surmounted, and the neophyte has gained complete mastery of self. The body is under the control of a disciplined will, and whatever knowledge concerning spiritual things is obtainable in the external world has been gained. The scepter and the sword balance each other, positive and negative, indicating that the neophyte has a partner, whose physical temperament, mental polarity, and spiritual aspirations are in complete harmony with his own. And as shown by the 12 and squares on the cuirass, they both implicitly obey the divine laws governing physical union, having mastered which they become candidates for regenerate union, as signified by Arcanum 14, and later for True Soul Union represented by Arcanum 21. Neither 7 nor 14 are decays of 3, the number of union, but 7, composed of 3 and 4, expresses union in its issue, which is perfection of form. And the multiples of 7, though not decays of 7, relate to some octave of the perfect form. Occult science spiritual astrology reveals the facts, which the wisest men of all time have learned regarding the nature of the soul, its destiny, and how it may best make progress. Such facts have been recorded still more specifically in the pictured constellations. These pictured constellations thus form a positive key to the sacred books of the world, and give detailed instructions on how the soul may best proceed to scale the spiritual heights. The sevens. The sign Sagittarius is general significator of philosophy, long journeys, publishing, teaching and out-of-door sports, therefore the sevens, corresponding numerically to Sagittarius, in their more common divinatory significance must relate to these things, as applied to the department of life indicated by the suit. But in their higher application they reveal the influence of, and can be interpreted by, the seventh decanate of each zodiacal triplicity, starting with the movable signs. The divinatory significance of the Seven of Scepters is success in teaching or publishing, its inner interpretation is devotion. The divinatory significance of the Seven of Cups is a successful change of home, its inner interpretation is verity. The divinatory significance of the Seven of Coins is money earned through a journey, its inner interpretation is intuition. The divinatory significance of the Seven of Swords is danger through travel or sport, its inner interpretation is achievement. The Balance Arcanum 8-letter Egyptian, Helitha, Hebrew, Chef, English, HCH, number, 8. Astrologically, the zodiacal sign Capricorn. Color, the darker shades of blue. Tone, Logi occult science. Hoary astrology. Human function, the sense of hearing. Natural remedy, such herbs as henbane, nightshade and black poppy. Mineral, the talismanic gem sardonyx, and ash-colored or black minerals such as coal. H8 expresses in the spiritual world, absolute justice. In the intellectual world, attraction and repulsion. In the physical world, relative justice, fallible and limited, which comes from man. Remember, then, son of earth, that to be victorious over thyself, and dominate obstacles is but a part of the human task. To accomplish it entirely thou must establish equilibrium between the forces, that thou hast brought into play. All action produces reaction. The will should foresee the shock of opposite forces in order to temper or annul them. If the balance should appear in the prophetic signs of thy horoscope, it signifies that the future is balanced between good and evil, and warns that an unbalanced mind is like an abortive sun. In divination, Arcanum 8 may be read as justice or equilibrium. Arcanum 8 is figured by a woman, blindfolded and seated upon a throne. She wears a crown of lance heads, holds in her right hand a raised sword, in her left hand a balance, and from her brow the sacred serpent thrusts its head. This is the ancient symbol of justice, which weighs all acts and opposes to evil, as a counterweight the sword of expiation. Justice, emanating from God, as symbolized by the overshadowing protection, is the equilibrium between right and duty. Justice is crowned with lances to indicate inflexibility, adorned with the sacred serpent to signify she acts with enlightenment, and her throne is placed on a platform of 3 steps, to represent her action in all 3 worlds. At her side is a lion, symbol of the force over which she rules, and a sphinx, symbol of the passage of time, which enables her to manifest. Above is a winged turtle, symbol of the repentance which may bring forgiveness. At the back is a divine messenger, signifying that the justice of God will be the final judge of the justice of men. The sword is here a sign of protection to the good and a menace to the wicked. The eyes of justice are covered with a bandage, to show that she weighs and strikes without taking into account the conventional differences that men establish for themselves. Number numerically, 8 expresses complete balance and equilibrium, hence stagnation and death. As composed of 2 fours, it indicates 2 realizations of an opposite nature, and is thus the antithesis of progress. In nature it signifies the polarization of the forces that bind together, or that produce motion, hence dissolution of matter and inactivity of energy. It is the number of annihilation, unconsciousness and mortality. Astrology perfect equilibrium of forces produces crystallization. A solid is the result of an equilibrium established between at least 8 forces. First, 2 forces converge. And about this point of equilibrium 2 forces meet from above and below, 2 from right and left, and 2 from behind and in front, 8 forces in all, well represented by a cube with its 6 faces in the center. Verily, matter is nothing but spirit in a state of equilibrium. The most earthy sign of the zodiac, the sign which the sun enters, when life's forces are lowest and the waters and vapors of earth crystallize into ice and snow, is Capricorn. Capricorn well expresses that equilibrium which results in crystallization, and thus corresponds to Arcanum 8. Human function Capricorn is receptive, and is also a reflective zodiacal sign, which pertains to earthly endeavor. These qualities, which express as receiving and not giving, of utilizing all to its own advantage, are well typified by the sense of hearing. It is often quoted, that where speech is silver, silence is gold, and Arcanum 8 pictures this stable attitude of listening. Alchemy in all branches of alchemy different ingredients are brought together. And it is of utmost importance, that they shall be present in just the right amounts. In order, that they shall form the proper fluxes for each other, and in order that some essentials shall not be too small in quantity, the ingredients are weighed. If there is not sufficient of some substance, as indicated by such weighing, it must be sought out and added to the mixture. Both the weighing and the seeking of ingredients thus found lacking, correspond to Arcanum 8. Bible the descent of the spirit into matter, and the result of the equilibrium so established is set forth in General 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, and unto dust shalt thou return. Surely the wages of sin is death, but the only real death is the polarization of the spiritual forces by the animal propensities, as indicated in Rev 3:16. So, then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Still more explicit, as indicating the reaction upon those who once see the truth and later turn to evil ways, turning back from a higher vibratory level to selfish motives, is the account of Lot's wife, General 19:26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Masonry. The Royal Master degree is founded upon Arcanum 8. As a just reward for the most skillful and faithful masons in building the temple, it was decided to impart to them the omnific word as soon as the temple was completed. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be, etc. It also represents the judgment, which ultimately was passed upon the assassins of Hiram Abiff, and the state of disintegration in which the body of Hiram was found. Magic. Nothing is more sure than that in magic any thought or desire projected to another will in time return to influence the sender. The magical forces of the soul traverse the spaces almost instantly, and fasten upon the object of its ceremony, and may act with terrible force. But if such a force launched toward another has not the power to penetrate his aura, it at once reacts upon the sender, and affects the other not at all. In repelling any evil influence, there should be no thought either of vengeance or of mercy, but instead an attitude of unbending justice. Efforts at retaliation attract fearful dangers. To launch a destructive thought is to attract denizens, who are destructive by nature, and who may linger long afterwards. Initiation in the soul's pilgrimage: a time comes when the individual accepts some definite work to perform for the benefit of humanity. In carrying out this spiritual work, his body must have sustenance. Thus he cannot entirely ignore the physical, nor can he devote his energies exclusively to financial ends. He also has certain obligations to his family, which he should not ignore. Too much energy spent in gaining wealth and caring for the physical body prevents the accomplishment of the spiritual work, and upon his faithfulness to it depends his further progress. Thus he must learn to render, therefore, unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Occult science, horary astrology, depends upon the relation between the mental factors and the positions of the heavenly bodies. A question receives additional stimulation when the factors corresponding to it in the sky reach such a situation as to represent the facts concerning it. This equilibrium between the mind of man and the astrological influences at the time he is stimulated to ask a question permits the astrologer to give a correct answer to the question. The 8th sign, Capricorn, is general significator of station, honor, business, and government affairs. Therefore the 8s, corresponding numerically to Capricorn, in their more common divinatory significance must relate to these things, as applied to the department of life indicated by the suit. But in their higher application they reveal the influence of, and can be interpreted by, the 8th decanate of each zodiacal triplicity, starting with the movable signs. The divinatory significance of the 8 of scepters is a political appointment, its inner interpretation is exploration. The divinatory significance of the 8 of cups is extravagance, its inner interpretation is self-sacrifice. The divinatory significance of the 8 of coins is a costly lawsuit, its inner interpretation is fidelity. The divinatory significance of the 8 of swords is loss of honor or business failure, its inner interpretation is experience. The magic 7 spread 10 completes a cycle, but 7 completes a form. Common divination is concerned with external life, hence with form, the problems of which are readily solved by the application of the seal of 7, or Solomon's seal, as it is commonly called. This seal is an astrological chart in abstract, for the sum of the angles of the two triangles equals 360 degrees, measuring exactly, but in a more concrete form, the number of degrees in a circle. The 6 external points of the star, together with the point in the center, express the planetary septenary in terms of Jodhi Vohi, both above and below, the final He, or product, being common to both and occupying the center of the star. To use this magical figure as a tarot spread, first, as usual, clearly formulate the information sought and keep it constantly in mind, while shuffling and cutting the cards. Then deal them face downward, one by one, on the points of an imaginary 6-point star, in the order shown in the diagram on page 100, the 7th card taking the center. Turn the cards over one at a time, and read as turned. The first card dealt, the upper Jode, signifies the past of the matter inquired about. It is the cause of the present condition. The second card dealt, the upper He, represents the present of the thing inquired about. It is the effect of past causes already indicated. The third card dealt, the upper Vao, signifies the past and present united. It represents the immediate future of the matter. The fourth card dealt, the lower Jode, represents the power of the individual to control the matter. It is also the influence of those favorable to it, to control the matter through initiative and effort. The fifth card dealt, the lower He, designates the part that fate and environment will play in the matter. The sixth card dealt, the lower Vao, shows the combination of fate and individuals in the future taking the form of opposition to the venture. The seventh card dealt, the final He, corresponding to the seventh seal of the apocalypse, reveals all the factors of past and future after they have undergone gestation and given birth to the final issue. It, therefore, represents the result of the thing asked about.